Miguel. What up, guys? Welcome in to Stacking Dubs. Your host, Christian here. Happy New Year. We made it to 2026. Didn't know if I was going to. I had the flu pretty nasty for a couple weeks. Thoughts out to anybody who is sick with the flu right now. Get your rest. Get your Tylenol and Advil, because that's what maybe just barely got me surviving. Anyways, wanted to talk about all things Warriors trade, Kuminga trade, all things coming up, because we got about 10 days until January 15th where he is eligible to be moved. I want to kind of look at just things that we've been seeing out of or hearing from Steve Kerr, Mike Dunleavy, just kind of my general sense on what I think that they're going to do. And then I'm also going to give you my general sense on what I think should be done in terms of how big of a swing do the Warriors take in a Kuminga trade? You know, how many picks are they going to put on the table to upgrade this roster? How big of an upgrade are they going to chase? It's going to be very revealing as to what the Warriors' higher level plans are going to be for, I mean, you can call it the remainder of the Steph Curry era. Is it going to be, you know, anywhere from an all-in move to go get a superstar and use all your first-round picks right now and just go for it? Or is it going to be something like, you know, you're maybe just moving the Kuminga contract for a backup center or just something small like that that is just going to kick the can down the road, keep you as just kind of this middle-tier 45-win pace team, and that's just going to be what it is, and you're going to hold on to your draft capital and try to rebuild through the draft and just be a late lottery team or a fringe playoff team for the next 7-8 years, which sounds even worse than just trading all the picks and hitting a reset to me. I will talk about that in just a bit. Just kind of looking at, you know, what Mike Dunleavy said in his interview. It was actually the game that I was at, at home against the Magic, and they NBC Sports brought Dunleavy on, and he's talking. And if you actually watch the video, I'm in the background with my Davidson shirt, just kind of flashing Davidson up, and I'm the star of the show, just kind of waving and being an idiot in the background. But anyways, he talked about, hey, like they made their move last year for Jimmy Butler, and more and not so many words, just to not really expect another blockbuster move, which I hated to hear, because, you know, maybe he's just playing coy and maybe he's just kind of tempering expectations here. But when he's already saying that, it sounds like there's not a lot out there that they like. Sounds like they, you know, from the reporting from Brett Siegel to Jake Fisher, it sounds like the Warriors are thinking about trading for Anthony Davis or what was the other name recently? Whatever, it doesn't even matter, because they're just, Michael Porter Jr. They're considering thinking about it, whatever that means. I don't know. I haven't heard enough to think that the Warriors are actually seriously contemplating making a big move. You hear Steve Kerr talk about it, and he just doesn't want to be stuck without any picks, like the Bucks, like the Suns. Look at how in a terrible place these teams are, which is true. They took their swings. They spent a lot of picks. You know, the Bucks traded for Lillard, and then he tore his Achilles, and it didn't really work out, and now they're kind of screwed. Suns did the same thing with Durant. But at least those teams took a swing, man. I mean, they had a chance to compete. And, you know, those teams were good when healthy. And with the Suns with Durant, Bucks with Giannis, I mean, those teams were good. And yeah, they're not, it didn't work out so well. But what if they had won a championship? Then it's all worth it. That's what the Lakers did when they traded for Anthony Davis. They won a championship. They don't have a lot of picks. Seems to have worked out all right for them. They got their championship, and they're still decent because they're a good franchise, and they're the Lakers, just like the Warriors are the Warriors. You know, you'll make it work. Even without picks, you can still attract free agents. There are other methods than just a bunch of late lottery first-round picks at best. Look at the Knicks. The Knicks traded, 5 first-round picks for Anunoby and Michael Bridges, or whatever the combination was there. Knicks are looking like the best team in the East. They won the Cup championship this year. Not that that matters, but hey, they're basically saying we're going for it now. There's nothing wrong with going for it now. Sometimes you come up short, But sometimes you get yourself a nice shiny ring, and man, that pinky ring sure would look good on this dynasty. The perfect end, the perfect send off for Steph Curry. And I don't even think we need to argue that you owe it to Steph Curry to really just give him a fair shot at a fifth ring. And that's what Steve Kerr also said. He said, "Hey, we just want a swing. We just want a chance. We just want a shot to win." Kind of like last year. You can say it's the same team and they kind of have a shot this year, but I don't know. As we see more, I don't believe that this team has a shot at winning the championship. There's no way we're beating the Thunder in a 7-game series. You're probably not beating the Rockets. You're not beating the Nuggets. Sure, you have a shot, but I think this team is still a decent size upgrade away from even giving yourself that puncher's chance because we've seen for all the reasons how inconsistent this roster is, and it's not enough. Even when healthy, even when playing well, this team is, at best a 50-win team, and that's not a good enough team to actually compete. So what are we doing? We're just gonna sit here without really a chance for the next year, the next couple years, as Steph Curry continues to be a top five or better player in the NBA, as Steph Curry might play for another 3, 4, 5 years. I mean, what's LeBron right now? 41 years old? Steph's 38. 3 more years. You can argue that Steph's gonna age better than LeBron probably did. It's hard to think anyone's going to age as well as Steph has. And, he could conceivably be a top 10, top 15 player in 3 years from now and well into his 40s. If that's the case, what are we doing? The picks that you're holding on to, those aren't going to be, if you still have Steph Curry, those aren't going to be top five, even top 10 picks, probably. You're just holding on to picks, and those picks become late lottery picks, or worse, if you make the playoffs, that pick is worth the next Moses Moody, the next Brandon Pajemski, those late lottery picks. And though you could argue that Pajemski pick was a hit, that was the best pick in the teens that year. And it's still just a decent role player or whatever you want to call Pajemski at this point. The picks are valuable and you get guys on rookie contracts, but the chances of hitting on a franchise altering player, even with a top 4 to 8 pick in the NBA draft, is still less than 50%. Hell, you can have the first or second pick in the NBA draft, and they just end up not very good. Look what the Warriors just had with Wiseman, complete whiff. You had the 7th overall pick with Kuminga, complete whiff. What are you holding the picks for? Go get yourself a player now who you know can help you. Someone like a Trey Murphy, a Michael Porter Jr., someone who's a fringe all-star, or even is an all-star in Michael Porter Jr.'s case, and you know he can help you now during the window that matters now. Worst case scenario, you can always trade that guy and go get another first round pick for them later on for the expiring contract or better. Or you hold on to them and in Trey Murphy's case, he's young enough to be your next pillar and you just build around him over the next few years post Steph. You still have a couple late picks there. You have free agents that could come once you clear the books. That's another way to rebuild. Holding these first round picks is just like hoarding possessions that may or may not eventually be valuable to you. You're keeping jade, you're keeping copper, you're keeping nickel, hoping that, hey, maybe someday there's just going to be this huge nickel explosion. It's going to be worth so much, but chances are it's going to be worth like 5 or 6 cents a couple of years from now. I just hate it. I hate the philosophy that the Warriors aren't going all in, especially because that Steph Curry's still playing on top of his game. Because there are just 2 to 3 huge holes you need to fill in terms of a better athletic wing with some size, a center, a true center, and then just another shot creator. Any combination of those three skill sets that you have huge holes to fill, make your team immensely better, maybe propel your team into championship swing contention. It gives you a shot. So how many picks are we going to be willing to give? What are we actually willing to part with? We know that they're willing to part with Kuminga. We don't know, but maybe there's rumblings that Pajemski could be an asset if someone was interested enough and gave enough value. I actually think Pajemski's been playing better lately, a little more confident, shooting the ball better. He's not expendable, unexpendable, and he's tradable because of the depth that you have with Melton now. My point being that you have some pieces to give, and then you add a couple first round picks, and you can go get a Michael Porter Jr., a Trey Murphy. I don't want Anthony Davis, but there's talks of Anthony Davis speculation there. So basically, you need to take a bigger swing to make an actual impact. Anything less, like just going to get like a Daniel Gafford or even like a Klay Thompson or just some kind of just like on the margins, not going to be good enough. Can you go get like a Nick Claxton? I think that helps move the needle a bunch. There are guys that you need to at least be willing to part with a first round pick, next year's first round pick, maybe in the year after that's first round pick. Like I said, those picks are just, they're not that valuable. If you still have Steph Curry, those picks are not worth much. It's a late lottery pick at best, and we already know that to the Warriors, those picks just, you don't hit on anything more than just a glorified role player there. Even best case scenario, say you hit on, like, I guess for lack of a better example, Trey Murphy, right? Like the Warriors took Moody over Murphy, and say you had taken Murphy there. Look at the Pelicans. Murphy's a great player. They have Murphy, they have Zion Williamson, they have a whole bunch of other really good players, and they're still like a 7-win team right now. So, yeah, best case scenario, you hit on this late lottery pick by saving all your picks down the road in 4 years from now. What do you have? You have a decent player that is on a mediocre team and you're not really going anywhere. I mean, what's the point in that? As Steve Kerr said, you're not competing with the Thunder. You're not competing with the Spurs over the next few years. So then, if they're not doing that, what are we trying to do? Are we just trying to sell tickets and be average, be good enough where the team doesn't want Joe Lacob out every single day and is chanting fire Lacob? I mean, like, what are we trying to prevent here? I don't care if the Warriors are a bottom five team in 3 or 4 years from now, post Steph for a few years. I want them to take a swing with Steph Curry. I want them to give him a chance, a decent chance at winning a championship in the next couple of years while he's still at the top of his powers. And then we figure it out from there. Yeah, we don't have any picks. So be it. We'll figure it out. You're almost better off having nothing and just being absolute rock bottom. Get some higher picks a few years after that and just have clear books and start over. That's the way to rebuild in the NBA. It's not just by hoarding picks. And the only way that actually works out is if you are the Thunder and you hit on a Shai Gilgeous-Alexander in a trade, and then you happen to get, several top picks in a Jalen Williams, a Chet Holmgren, all these guys, and it just works out perfectly. That's what's killing the Warriors here. So they see that the Thunder been able to build through the draft, and that seems to be the blueprint to the Warriors. So, oh, we still have our five first round picks, then we're going to be able to just start a new dynasty just like the Thunder did. We're going to be able to draft the next Steph Curry and then a Draymond Green and a Klay Thompson the following year, and that's how we're going to rebuild ourselves. It's not realistic. Sorry, that's my little rant, guys. That's just kind of my takeaways. We're not even going to really talk about the Warriors, just performance over the last few games. They've pretty much been as expected, beat up on a couple bad teams, lost some mediocre games, lost a heartbreaker against the Raptors, split with the Suns, got destroyed by the Blazers again, whenever that was. But this team is what we know they are. We got 10 days for the Warriors to truly show what direction they're heading. Are you committed to trying to win now with Steph Curry, or are you just trying to be good enough and you're basically waving the white flag and just trying not to be a laughing stock and basically die with dignity is what it seems like the mentality is. You will hear me be much more upset if that's the case. All right, guys. Well, just welcome back to the channel. Let's keep things good, strong for the year. We got the Clippers tonight. We'll talk to you after that. Until next time, I have been Chris Chin. Peace, love, and stacking dubs.